We were discussing the halachas of hotzah and Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos. So we need to continue that discussion and address a couple of key points. So, no pun intended. But look in Sif Yud Aleph, where we discuss the issue of keys. Oh, what's that? Anybody? Shin Aleph. Shin Aleph, Yud Aleph. Anybody here live in an area where there's no Eruv? Yeah?
Yud.
Wow. Shin Aleph, Sif Yud Aleph.
I live in the big Jewish community.
Okay.
Oh, this is a big siman.
So, if you live in a place without an Eruv, obviously, you can't carry on Shabbos. As the... You go places where there's no air, so okay, you have to be careful.
You go places even more complicated than that because the houses are so spread apart that there's also two shawls.
Really? I could take
kach. Oh, yeah, where?
Falmouth? Where's that?
Keep going.
Wow.
Is it
okay.
So we're 2009.
No, my grandparents have a house.
Yeah. Okay,
so. We have a house, so we have to put food. If you want to walk from our house, sorry, come and tell us you have to put food. So you move your.
Really?
Food to walk. Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay, we'll have to talk about tchum. It's not usually so shaykh, but there you have it. Very good, very good. Okay, so you know you can survive without carrying stuff in your pockets on Shabbos or carrying things in general on Shabbos. You can make it. But one thing that does become difficult is the issue of the keys. You know, you may want to actually lock your door when you leave. You know, you wouldn't necessarily want to leave it open. What's that? Okay, so one thing you can do is you can put in a combination lock. That would be a nice way to solve the problem, and then you don't have to worry about the whole key issue. You could just use the combination on Shabbos, and that would be a nice thing. But let's look at the issue of keys. So it's actually mentioned here in Shulchan Aruch. Look here in Sif Yud Aleph, and Dabar, why don't you read for us?
Dabar ha'asuit le'sach shit le'hishtamish bo kigon Maftechos naos shel kesev kimin tachshit asur sharo omer shel tzorach tashmish motzi. V'yesh matirin im hu shel kesev.
Okay, what if you have something which is for practical use, but also as a tachshit? A tachshit is an adornment, an ornament, piece of jewelry. For example, a silver key, which you actually use. So you might want to wear it as something. You can wear it as a tie clip or something. So it looks nice, but on the other hand, it's for use also. So 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, if that's permitted. Continue in the Ramah. Okay, continue on. Okay, if it's not made from silver, then even if it's put into your belt, it would still be aser, but some say mutter. So, what is this heter of wearing it on the belt? Comes along the Mishnah Brura, Siv Katan Memhei. Go ahead. Zenkel. In other words, it's the clasp. So what the Mishnah Brura here writes is as follows, that this opinion, this lenient opinion that's quoted here in the Ramah, Ramah quotes Tideus, which says that if you are wearing the key as a part of your belt, it's permitted on Shabbos. That's only if it becomes a functional part of the belt. Then it's considered to be part of the belt. If it's just hanging around your belt, then you're carrying it. That's just like carrying it in your pocket. It just happened to be carrying it around your belt. Okay, same thing. If you have your key on a necklace and you're wearing it around your neck, that's carrying. Maybe it's only carrying the rabbanon because it's an abnormal way to carry it, but it's definitely an issur. The heter here, with regard to the belt, is if it becomes a functional part of the belt. How would it become a functional part of the belt? You could use it as the clasp. Okay, you could have a belt which the two parts of the belt don't reach each other. You know, and you know, if you have two holes in the key, so you put one into one hole and one in the other hole, so the key is holding the whole belt together. You'll have to find a way that the belt is actually serving an important function. Excuse me, the key is serving an important function on the belt.
Can you do that without like a bracelet also?
Okay, a belt has the advantage that it's considered to be clothing because it's helping you hold up your pants. Okay, with a bracelet, you're working based on the heter of tachshit, which is less smooth than malbush. Okay, and it's also not so clear that it becomes meaning how much of a tachshit is it? Okay, it's not usually, but okay, in theory. Again, you see sometimes people that it's not really serving a functional purpose at all. It's just hanging off of a bracelet, hanging off the belt. So then that's just a form of carrying. Now, let's say you manage to do this. You're not scot-free. You have to be very careful when you get to that door on your way out or on your way in. You have to be very careful with what you do.
You can't walk.
What's that? So let's say, I don't know how your house is. Let's say your door leads right out into the Rishus HaRam. Like if your door is surrounded by a porch or something, which is a Rishus HaYachid, it's your Rishus HaYachid connected to your house, okay? That's one thing. That's a lot easier. But let's say that's not the case. Let's say the door leads right out into the street, or it leads out into an apartment building, for that matter, and there's no Eruv Chatzeris in the apartment building. So, you have a problem of carrying the key into the house from the outside or out of the house from the inside. You need to use it to unlock the door. So how do you do it? So it goes like this. Let's say you're coming home, the door is locked. So you're going to need to take off the belt. You're going to put the key into the door, unlock the door. Now you have to be careful. You cannot just swing the door open with the key inside, because now what did you do? You carried the key from the outside, the karmelis or the rishus around, or whatever it is, into the rishus hayachid. You're going to need to unlock the door, and then before you open the door and move it inside, take out the key, right? You can open the door, put the belt back on, and then you can walk inside. On the way out, it would be the same thing. You're going to walk out, close the door, then you can take off the belt, lock the door, and put back on the belt, and then you can walk outside. And that means you can continue walking. Okay, so again, you have to be very careful how it's done. If you're walking in to the house, so you carry it from the outside, you put it in the doorknob, right? You open it, and then you swing the door open, you have just transported the key from the outside to the inside. You lost the whole advantage you had by carrying on your belt. You just carried it from one rishus to another. Right? So this is a tricky thing. It can be done. It is done by many people, but it is a tricky thing. It has to be done the right way. Obviously, if you're, as you mentioned, if the doorway area is surrounded by, is part of your rishus hayachid, so then that makes it easier. Yeah.
If your door is on the side of your house, and there's like a lot of like bushes or whatever, and there's like a fence, so it goes like your house, fence, and the other person's house, and then like bushes, is that area rishus hayachid?
So certainly, potentially, I mean, the bushes definitely can count, depending on how it's done, because it has to be mechitzas.
It's three sides.
Three sides, yeah. Okay. So you're going to need to do something on the fourth side.
I thought you only need three sides.
No. You have three sides, you still need to make a lefi or a kor on the other side. It's not the end of the world to do that. Not so horrible.
So what happened for a second?
But you could do that. Okay, Sukkah and Shabbos don't exactly have the same halachas. What counts as a mechitza is the same, or at least is similar. Whatever, it's not exactly the same. Sukkah and Shabbos are not exactly the same.
So you only need two and a half walls.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to be.
Nachon. They don't need to be. Okay, for Shabbos, you need to put something on the fourth side, but yeah, then you can make it easily into the Shulzei Yachid. And that gives you one of the ring. Something going across the top, or even if it's not, if it's just a post in the ground. Which is a a sign that you're leaving the Rishus HaYachid.
You have that pose.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Alrighty. Let's talk about.
Does a hole count as a mechitza if it's 10 tefachim deep?
If it's 10 tefachim deep, It can. The side of the pit can count as a mechitza, yeah.
Yeah, it's down.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you put like a light, let's say, on the side, like in front of your house, like a set of driveway, and say like net neck could serve as like your wall.
Put down what?
Let's say you have like a light pole or something like that.
A light pole, yeah.
And in front of your house, can you connect service as a mechitza? Is it, can make it clear that's
not on it though?
No,
the cities.
Sure. No,
a light pole can count.
Because there needs to be something that you could see.
Even if it's
like, even if you
have like your own, like you have like a little like thing built with a light in front of your house, it's right there, can that serve as a god?
It can count as a part. It's not going to be a full fledged mechitza, but it can count.
It can count for David's case.
It needs to be a hecker. So I don't know if that counts as a hecker, if it's something which is
like a board of wood,
which is there for a different reason, but maybe
a specific reason.
It's got to be there for Okay, turn to Siv Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin, and this is a very important Siv. Okay, Siv Yud Zayin. Avi Rosenberg. Okay, so someone who is chiger, he's lame, he cannot walk by himself, he cannot walk without a cane, a makel, he's allowed to walk with the cane, even without the eruv. However, if he can walk without it, but he just uses the cane for extra stability, extra support, then it is also, certainly if it's for fashion, for sure. That's what the Mishnah Berurah mentions here in Sifkot and Samach Vav.
Certainly for fashion, it's okay.
No, not okay. Not okay.
I thought if it's for fashion, then it's a clothing.
No. Look here in the Mishnah Berurah. Samach Vav, afilu makel tiferes, shenosu l'chavod, aser. Even though it's a tachshit, lahuta lisa tachshit biyado. You're not allowed to carry tachshitim in your hand. There is a heter to wear tachshitim, but not to carry tachshitim. So if you're, there's my name, people don't really do this anywhere anyway, but using a cane, you're holding a cane just for a style. So then that would be usher if there was no Erev on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, one second. One thing at a time. So in the case of a person who cannot walk without the cane, so the Mishnah Berurah explains here in Sifkot and Samach Gimel, the chevan deinu yochel elech klal b'lo makel havelei kemin al didei. That's like for him, it's like a shoe. It's called malbush, something which you need in order to function. Your body needs in order to function. So we consider that to be batel to you, and you would be allowed to use it on Shabbos, even without an Eruv. So for example, as we said here in the Shulchan Aruch, a person needs the cane in order to walk. A person who needs crutches in order to walk. A person who has a synthetic limb. So he can walk. That's not, carrying the synthetic limb is not called carrying. I mean, wearing it or whatever you call it.
Did we have a discussion
about
that early in the year?
Did we? Yeah, Yoma, when we did Yoma.
Yeah.
In morning shiur, yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be permitted. What if you can walk a little bit without it, but not much? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch says, that you cannot, if you can get around without it, and you're just using it for extra support and stability, then it's a problem to carry it on Shabbos. Moshe Feinstein writes in Igros Moshe that it goes by the walk that you're doing now. In other words, a person who can get around in the house, he can walk around without the cane, but he can't really go more than 20 feet without a cane. And now he's walking to shul. So he cannot do this walk without the cane. So then we would be allowed to use the cane. Okay, even without the Eruv. Yes.
What about like a sling?
Yeah.
Because the doctor suggested to help if they have a cast or something like that, to hold your arm in place to help it heal better. You don't need it to function.
You're wearing it though. You're not carrying it.
Okay, I think that would be permitted.
It's like you're wearing it in a normal fashion that a sling is worn.
There is a whole discussion, what about wheelchairs? Would we say the same thing about a wheelchair? So the person cannot get around without it. Maybe it should be just like the cane and just like the crutches. What's that?
Similar to a stroller.
Okay, but in the case of the stroller,
you can't carry the person.
In the case of the stroller, you're pushing somebody else. right? I'm not allowed to carry you, even if you're, you know, regardless of whether your shoes are considered shoes for you. You're not, I can't carry you because I can't carry you. Chai no se esatzim, what's true. Chai no se esatzim. Well, midaraisa, it's not called carrying if you can walk yourself. But midrabbanan, I'm not allowed to carry another person.
Yeah, but just like
so if I'm pushing a stroller with a kid in it, so I'm carrying the kid. Even if the stroller is buttoned to the kid, it's a midrabbanan to carry the kid.
So why is that different from a wheelchair?
So a wheelchair, but the person, if the person pushes himself.
Oh, push himself. I got you.
Okay, if the person is able, physically able to push himself, so then what would the status of that be if there was no Eruv? So Rav Moshe finds it in the Igros Moshe, thinks it should be comparable to the case of the cane over here in Shulchan Aruch. That should count as like min al didei, that's like his shoe. There were poskim who disagreed with this. It's Pesach Frank and others. And they claim it's one thing if you're walking with a cane, then you're walking and it's helping you walk. Here with a wheelchair, you're not walking at all. You're just moving yourself from place to place by, you know, with this other contraption, but that's not called walking. It's not helping you walk. So, the way it's, so what can I tell you? You know, in the Rabbi Ribiat's Sefer, so he's in general very much goes by Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he just says like Rav Moshe, the wheelchair is like the crutches, it's like the cane, it's mutter for the person to wheel himself. Obviously, nothing else can be on the wheelchair. It's not like he can tuck the sitter, you know, into the wheelchair or something, because that's called carrying the sitter.
It's not
bottle. But the wheelchair itself is bottled to him. In Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, he doesn't totally go for this. He goes for it partially. He says if it's a real, you know, real Rishus HaRabim, so then maybe if the person and a guy do it together, it's like Shnayim Shasa'ua. So then he's willing to allow, but he's not willing to allow just, you know, just straight up for the person to do it himself in a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. If it's a Carmelis, so the whole Israel gets knocked down to the Rabbanon. So then there's definitely more room to be Mekel. And then in that case, you could have a guy wheel him as well. Because Amiral and Nochri of an Israel de Rabbanon, Bimakom Sorech Gadol, and we would consider that this person should be able to go to Shul.
Potentially
or,
to go to
Brios. Or to go to Simcha, or whatever the case may be, that's considered a Sorech Gadol. So then it would be permitted to have the non-Jew push him. Push him in the wheelchair. Yes.
Also, potentially, if a person like is a wheelchair and he can't go to shul, that's potentially kibbutz brios.
I don't think this counts as kibbutz brios, but this is definitely a tzorech gadol.
Because okay. If a person like can't go to shul, that might be a stain on his honor.
Yeah.
But if
he,
let's say he's not able to wheel himself,
yeah,
in a carmelist, would even a Jew be allowed to?
So right now, we wouldn't say that a Jew could wheel him in a carmelist. We wouldn't say that. Okay? However, let's say he's wheeling himself and then he gets to a curb and he can't get up on the curb, then a Jew would be allowed to help him get up onto the curb. To help him get into the house from outside, that's already more problematic. That's Rishus L'Rishus. But within the Carmelis, okay, just to get up onto a curb, or even within Rishus Aram, just to get up onto the curb, that would be permissible. Okay, like, less than Dalat Amos. Less than Dalat Amos. Yeah.
If you're going like up or downhill, where it'd be harder for him to wheel himself, do the same thing.
Okay, so your question is what? If a Jew can do it, can help him?
Yeah.
Do Dalat Amos.
It's a problem.
Let him wheel
it's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
A person can't have wheels on their shoes on Shabbos because of this. Is a Shabbos the issue?
Please.
Can't have wheels on your shoes.
Say rollerblades. Rollerblades.
Rollerblades. Okay.
Or actual wheels on your shoes.
Yeah.
Heelys.
Heelys. Attach the Heelys wheels on the shoes. The shoes with wheels, and then you sort of, you know,
yeah,
slide
like
places.
And then, like, you just left out to
yeah.
Slide. Yeah.
I don't.
Like,
I'm not sure that that should be also Maker Adin. Why should that be also?
Rabbi, I'm sorry that the rabbis actually originally permitted, but when they found out that the kids were actually changing the ball bearings on their in the shoes, they actually ushered it at that point.
What are the ball bearings?
You can take out the wheel.
So you take the wheel piece out.
Take the wheel out and put a flat shoe.
Okay. Okay.
Have to come to.
I don't know.
Is that would that be ushered theoretically?
What?
If you take out the wheel or if you put it in?
It's meant to be used that way, that you
yeah,
take it out
way.
And put it in whenever
yeah,
you
yeah,
want?
Yeah, yeah,
no point.
I don't see why that should be us, sir. I'll be honest with you.
When I asked,
and that, at that point,
I was
At that point, it would be usher to wear outside the Eruv, because we're concerned you might take off the wheel and carry it, but within an Eruv. Okay, I hear the Shabbos stick, maybe, I guess, I don't know. I know of a person who had a shayla that one second, that he was he had to walk a long distance to shul, or to whatever, he was a kid, like a teenager, and he claimed that it was hard for him to walk that long, but he wanted to use rollerblades, and he asked, or he had someone else ask for him, a certain big rav, Rav Shachter, and he allowed him.
Yeah.
He allowed him to do it. I don't think Maker Adin, it's really an Isser. I don't know.
I think it's just the heel is that it's not, Shavuos Day, because it's not something you should be wearing on Shavuos.
It's carrying. Let's say there's an error, but why, even if there's not an error. Alright.
Josh, you shouldn't be wearing
a riding a bike.
Riding a bike, then the minig is to Aser. The minig
is
to
the biggest problem with the bike is that
the chain
might come off.
I don't think
the chain but nowadays chains are like...
It's been accepted in Klai Yisrael that we don't ride bikes in Shabbos.
It happens all the time though.
Okay, it's been accepted.
Roller blades, what is
the chain came out?
It happens to me.
In any event, I don't recommend going skating on Shabbos, but if you're asking is there a specific, you know, rollerblading... Roller skating on Shabbos.
Right, but I'm saying...
Are you asking, is it Mikra Adin to get around from one place to another? I don't think so.
All the time you see...
The wheelie sneaker thingies, the sneaker thingies with wheelies. All right, I hear if you want to say it's not a nice way to go around on Shabbos. We should wear Shabbos shoes on Shabbos. I go for that. Is it Mikra Adin? I don't think so.
You can get black ones.
They don't look like
No, but I'm saying for a bike, you see people all the time changing their tire or the chain.
Yeah.
You never see someone like by the side of the road like taking the wheel out of their rollerblade. Like
you never see a professional rollerblader. Yeah, different wheels.
Can you go sledding?
Okay.
No.
There's snow.
Should not go sledding in Shabbos. Okay, there are various other applications of these halachas, which maybe we don't even think about. But the fact that you could walk out in. You know, a person would wear dentures or something, so that's the same. This is based on the same halacha. We're hearing aid, so Shmir Shabbos allows a person to wear hearing aid on Shabbos, even without an Eruv. So that's all based on this halacha, that you need it in order to function. It's considered to be bottle to you, and there's no isser of carrying.
What about jewelry?
What about jewelry? We discussed that last week.
We did?
Yeah.
What was the
The minhag olam is that we assume you're allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos as long as, even without an Eruv, as long as it is the type of jewelry that people do not take off to show other people.
So let's say women that take it off to, have bread and it's like you don't even have
the bread. No, not bread and the bread. No, to show your friends when you meet them in the street.
What if you're in an Eruv, though, still?
If you're in an Eruv, so...
I'm saying you're not going to be...
Yeah.
So
okay,
if
you're not leaving there.
If someone's recently engaged with it, would there be a reason that you couldn't wear it?
I don't think so. They don't take it off. They show it. They show it with their you know, while still on the finger.
They don't take that thing off.
That's correct. They don't take it off.
Rub brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles.
I'm thinking about this. Because you live in Chicago, you want to have that?
I'm serious.
No, it's a problem to carry brass knuckles.
No.
You cannot wear the brass knuckles without an Eruv.
Yeah.
It's definitely the type of thing that people take off. People take that off all the time. It doesn't matter whether you take it off. It matters if it's the type of thing that people do take off. So then you're not allowed to wear it outside the Eruv.
Yeah, what if you're in a Malcolm's economy? Like I'm saying,
don't leave your house.
If you're walking in Chicago, there's a slight chance that something will happen.
Yeah.
If you're walking in Chicago, everything's Pikuach Nefesh, so you can do it.
If it's Pikuach Nefesh, then stay home.
That's no fun.
Not like LA is much better.
Then the fun part is not Pikuach Nefesh.
No, you're not going to shul, I'd say.
That's not Pikuach Nefesh. Going to shul is not Pikuach Nefesh.
Saying you're walking through a bad neighborhood.
No.
There's no
room
to
be
making
them. No.
We had 19 robbers on
one block.
Honey is 19. Yeah,
you take brass knuckles with you?
I don't have, but I could have used.
I take a knife with me a lot of
times. Just so you know, the English name for the capital of Egypt when the Jews were slaves was Memphis. Just so you know.
Yeah, no, that's why we have a pyramid in Memphis. That was our.
Alrighty, Rabbi Zai.
Carry a knife in your pocket.
It's
there an error?
Okay.
Even if there's an error, I'm saying, like, you have to carry a knife and jaws.
You're asking midine mukza or midine carrying?
Midine mukza also.
Midine mukza.
You have a shot there, obviously. Yeah. The black people that live in
that. Yes.
Yeah, the munna you shouldn't.
Yeah, just carry on a mukza.
Okay, another. I mentioned one more application of this, which is.
Would a king be like carrying some toks?
Relax. One thing at a time, my boys. Raise your hand. You have a question? Raise your hand. Okay. If you need to wear some sort of a shoe insert, what's that called? An event. So that would be midrasim in Hebrew. You'd be allowed to wear that on Shabbos as well if it's in a shoe. So then, as opposed to if it's in a sandal. But if it's in a shoe, you'd be allowed to wear that on Shabbos as well, also based on this same consideration. Yes, sir.
Why would it make a difference if it's in a sandal or if it's in a regular shoe or like that? It still serves the same purpose.
I think that if it's in a sandal, so it's less secure, and you may come to carry it, may slip out. Yeah.
My other question was they said Torahs is the king's resort, like two safer Torahs. Like where safer Torahs are, isn't that a good thing?
I don't think that's called malbush. That's carrying. That's just straight up carrying.
There's no error because the king allowed to carry the
sefer. King allowed to carry
sefer Torah. I don't think you can carry. No, why? You can carry the sefer Torah and thereby violate what it says in the Torah. No, you cannot do that. Okay, yeah.
So insoles are fine. What about like cotton balls?
Like cotton balls?
Yes, like in there. Like if you're wearing a shoe that's like too big or like it hurts your feet, like at the end or whatever. It's not like a legit
okay.
insole, but it's not going to fall out. In. Like
so in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he has the... So he actually discusses a case of when your hat is too big. You want to put like a piece of paper in there to, you know...
Yeah, sure.
So he says that's mutter.
What about band-aids? You would say that it's just... That's like the normal way that you wear it, so...
Yeah. You'd be allowed to wear it. Yes.
What about a yarmulke if you're not wearing bobby pins or anything? It flops around, it's not secure in your head, and especially if it could be falling off when you're walking fast, you may pick it up, you may carry it for a second and put it back on.
Yarmulke, I hope, is not the type of thing people carry with them because then it's not on your head.
No, but it's
like, it flies off this wind. I've had that happen.
Yeah, or if you're not wearing bobby pins or clips, it's moving around. You're not really wearing it. It's like, you know,
it's still called wearing. It's still called wearing.
But like, it could easily fall off.
So you have to stay in your house all the time.
Make sure it stays securely on your head. Do your best to make sure it's secure on your head. If it falls off, pick it up and put it back on your head. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think it's a problem. You can wear your kippah on Shabbos. Sorry.
No, what if it flies away?
Maybe it's ritual.
What do you mean? You tell me you can't wear brass knuckles and you do have to wear your kippah. Oh.
Maybe it's a reason why it's a chiv to wear.
You could wear a hat. You could wear a hat. Yeah. Okay.
No, what if it flies away? It's further than Dalai Lama's and you don't have like a sleeve that you can like cover your head with.
If you're wearing sleeves, you're walking without sleeves and Shabbos.
No, I'm saying like you're wearing it Shabbos button down and shorts.
I think don't they do that on kippah? On kippah seam, they wear these dress shorts.
What does that have to do with anything?
So they do dress that way on kibbutzim, I think.
Only on kibbutzim.
I'm talking about shorts. I'm talking about sleeves.
But do they dress with long sleeves on kibbutzim?
Okay, in any event, go get it. What are you going to do? Okay, so you're honest. I'm going to tell you. You have to stand.
No, kibbutz datim.
Okay. Yeah.
We have Orthodox kibbutzim. Religious
kibbutzim. We don't own, the apartments that we live in, we don't own.
It's a good question. It's a good question. The answer is yes, you're right. Okay, if you have, let's say, a building like this, if it was an apartment building, everyone owned their own apartments. So you couldn't carry, even from one apartment to the other, inside the building without an Erev Chatzeros. However, here in the yeshiva, let's say, you don't really have rights to your apartment. The yeshiva owns all the apartments. And it gives you the right to stay in one of them. For a certain period of time until you are notified otherwise.
But don't you really bother?
So it's really all the rishus of one entity, which is the yeshiva. So that's mutter,
you're renting it from them.
You're not renting it from the yeshiva. You didn't rent this specific apartment. If they want to tell you, okay, you all have to move to the next apartment, then you don't have to move to the next apartment.
Yeah, but it's all the same apartment.
You're paying them for the apartment.
What does that have to do with anything?
But even if they move,
you're
still like...
There's no contract.
It's not your specific apartment is here as opposed to over there, opposed to anywhere else. If they close the dorms and said, okay, now you're all living in apartments across the street, so you'd go across the street. That would be it. That's the way.
But
it's all considered one rishos.
From the base to here, is that like a mavoy in between these?
It's probably it's all four.
This is still surrounded by mechitzos. It's still part of the yeshiva complex. It's still mutter. Mutter.
But okay, so two questions. One, Josh's question, but if our yeshiva, because it's in an Eruv, does it matter about like inside the yeshiva?
No, since we're actually in a much wider Eruv.
Like, let's say an apartment
and building. There is an Eruv, let's say.
Fine. No, I'm saying, let's say there's an apartment building that's in a community with an Eruv.
Okay.
Is that a problem between...
No.
That's fine, right?
Yeah.
No, you still need to
we're talking about an apartment building that's not in an Eruv.
Right.
So you might think, oh, it's all indoors, so I can do whatever I want. It's not true.
Right. Also, what about a hotel?
So a hotel...
You're not eating there.
Most hotels really would probably be the same as the yeshiva.
Yes,
it's true that you pay to stay there for a certain period of time.
You know what room you got in, you can move.
It's all, really, it's all one reshus, but belongs to the management or whatever, the owners
of
the
hotel. Also, you have to succumb to their rules. Like, there's certain rules of conduct that you can't...
Apartments and condos have that as well.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have... To some extent, but I'm saying for... You can do to... To some extent, like, what you want to, as opposed to in the you can't just like light fires in your room or stuff like that.
Okay. The hotel has the rights to all the rooms. It just gives you, it puts you in a room for it until they basically kick you out or until you leave.
I heard that you can't carry from like a room in a hotel to the hall. Sorry. Unless you're eating there.
What does that have to do with whether you're eating there or not?
Then the whole thing is.
Let's say we're in a hotel.
Okay. One second. I think I have something written down here about this explicitly.
Anyways, if you're on like a Pesach program, you probably do it.
No, I'm saying in Poland, it's like an issue.
What about the area after the ear went down? What about the area in the front of the yeshiva where the turf is?
One second.
It's surrounded by like technically
there's
an opening.
Yeah, but it's. It's not big enough of an opening.
It is.
It's covered. Most of it's covered.
That opening is more than 10 talk. I don't think so.
Yeah, most.
Yeah. You don't think it is?
Definitely is.
For sure it is.
We would have 10 talk.
Well, see, is there 10 almost.
That's if you like lenient like 20 feet, so, or 15 feet.
Plus, is there an air thing that goes to one of the Yeshiva?
I don't know about that. What?
Is there an Eruv?
Yeah, there's a whole Eruv around this whole... We're talking theoretically that the yeshiva is not within the Eruv.
No, I'm saying...
Where are you? There's like three Eruvs, isn't there?
I'm saying, one in Beit Shemesh, one in Ein Gedi.
In
Gedi. The Ein Gedi one's down. At least it was the other day.
Were you not in Shiru?
No, because most of it was up.
Were you not in Shiru?
It didn't matter, because there was...
Okay, in Shemesh Shabbos Kilchasa, in Perek Yud Zayin, Sif Yud Zayin, it says... That if people all eat in the same dining room, like in many hotels, so then even though they have different rooms where they sleep, einam olshim zelze. You don't need the Erev Chatzeres. On the other hand, if they all eat in their own rooms and their own food, so then they wouldn't need to make an Erev Chatzeres. So it may depend on the hotel. But even so, even under those circumstances, if they all stay for less than, in general, people stay for less than 30 days, and there is a, it's managed by a Jew or the worker of a Jew who stays there and lives on site, so then you also would not need an Eruv Chatzeres. It'll depend on how the hotel is set up. You may need one and maybe not.
Can you wear a raincoat?
You can wear a raincoat.
Take it off.
No. You can wear a raincoat on Shabbos.
You can?
Can.
And a poncho?
You can wear the poncho on Shabbos too.
But we're not like a hotel, but like a resort type of place where you have, let's say, like your apartment or like your condo kind of thing. But there's so much where you can look like outside of your room.
You just can't get one that's four corn.
Huh? Say again?
Like a resort style place, not like a regular hotel.
But if it doesn't blow up,
what about it?
It's not like your resort. You can go outside and you can go wander up anywhere you want within the property of the resort, let's say.
You're
saying outside. I understand. It's basically your own house on a resort.
It's your own house.
On the resort.
I don't think it matters. It depends. If everyone stays in their own little place, and they all bring their own food, and they all eat their own place, so then Most likely you will need a Erev Chatzeres. If there's like a dining room type area where everyone eats in the dining room, like in many places in Israel where they have these type of things, so they're not. Alrighty, this basically, what we need to do, we have one more topic to discuss in Hotza, which is what if you walk outside and you realize you forgot you are carrying something? Then what? So that will be our discussion, Bezras Hashem, next time, and then we'll move into the discussion of Hilchos Muktzah. Have a wonderful rest of the day.